Come sit with us at Berean Bible Fellowship. We're about to listen to Pastor Bruce David Bowell as the Lord speaks through the truth of His Word. Come sit with us.
In the year of 1875, an English poet by the name of William Ernest Henley lay dying in a hospital where he was suffering from a rare form of tuberculosis. And he already had one leg that had been amputated, and the prognosis for his recovery was not very good. And it was from his hospital bed that he wrote a poem. A poem that has been adopted by a number of people over the years as their theme, as their song, as their anthem to uplift them in the hour of their despair. And it is a poem by the name of Invictus, which is a Latin word which means the undefeated. And though this poem may inspire us to go through the difficulties in our life with courage and with resolve, that poem ends with these unsettling words. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul. But that is a lie. The fact is that we are not the master of our fate. We are not the captain of our soul. But that is the perspective that the enemy of our soul would have us believe. We are not sufficient of ourselves and in ourselves or by ourselves. And the truth is, we need Jesus Christ in order to stand. In order to stand at all, both here, in this life, and in eternity. And while we are here on this earth, we also need our brothers and sisters in Christ in order to stand. We were not created to stand alone, no matter how gifted we may be, no matter how well educated or how financially secure we are, no matter how spiritual we think that we are. And as we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 21 through 31, that is the point, that is the theme of the Apostle Paul as he wrote to the believers in the church in the city of Corinth. We cannot stand alone. We are dependent upon one another. In Christ, we have become intertwined. We're bound together, both now and forever. We are bound together by the same Lord, by Christ Jesus, our Savior, and we are bound together by the same Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. And though there are many people in the church, there is only one body of believers. We are connected to each other because we all need each other. We rely on one another. We need help from each other if we are to become all that we should be in Christ. And in verse 21, Paul continues with his comparison of the church, which is the body of Christ, and he compares it to our physical body. And so he says, it is certainly true that our eye cannot say to our hand, I have no need of you. In the same way, we are not to overestimate our importance in the church, in the body of Christ. Or again, Paul says, our head cannot say to our feet, well, I have no need of you. In the same way, we are not to underestimate the importance of other believers in the church and the way that God has equipped them for ministry. On the contrary, he says in verse 22, it is much truer that the members of our body, which seem to be weaker, asthenes in Greek, without strength, rather unimpressive, less prominent, even hidden from view. Well, the fact is that those members are absolutely necessary. Things are not always as they seem. For example, if we were to lose an eye, it would be difficult, but we would survive. But if our heart stopped beating, well, then we'd have a real problem, wouldn't we? Because we would be sure to die. So those parts of our body that are hidden may be vital for our survival. And so it is in the body of Christ. Those who labor behind the scenes may be the heartbeat of the work of the Lord. And those members of our physical body, which we feel are less honorable, less attractive, on these parts of our body, Paul says we bestow, peritithemi, we wrap clothes around them. And so we give them more abundant honor and a more prominent place. Nothing like being well-dressed, is there? And he adds, our unseemly members, ashemon in Greek, those that are less presentable, those that are personal, out of modesty, when treated decently, Paul says they have come to have more abundant seemliness. Euhemosune in Greek. They become more attractive. They become more presentable. And so it is in the body of Christ. No matter who we are to treat each other with honor. We are to treat each other with respect. We are to wrap a covering of consideration around each other. As we're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14, where it says we are to encourage the faint-hearted, we are to help the weak who are among us, and we are to be patient with all men. Well, however, he says in verse 24, our seemly members, those parts of the body that seem to be able to stand on their own. Well, we have no need to elevate them, do we? Honor comes to them just because of who they are. And so it is in our physical body. A beautiful smile, for example, will be noticed by all, and it is difficult to improve upon that. Smile speaks for itself, doesn't it? And so it is with the body of Christ. It is not so much how the Lord has gifted us to minister for Him that is of primary importance, but it is our attitude concerning those gifts that He has given to us. That is what is important, and it is our attitude towards each other in the body of Christ that is critical. It is of critical value. Why? Because we have been woven together. We are intertwined as a body. And Paul said, God has composed, sunker anumi, He has mixed us together like the blending of colors as one body, giving more honor to me in Greek, more value, more worth to that member, those who seem to lack honor. There's a balance, isn't there? There is equality in the body of Christ. Why? Paul says in verse 25, so that there should be no division. Schisma in Greek. No tears. No splits. No divisions. No dissension in the body of Christ. But, he adds, we should have the same care for one another. Merimnao in Greek. We should be genuinely concerned for the welfare of each other. Because, Paul reminds us, verse 26, like our physical body, if one member of the body of Christ suffers, pascho in Greek, endures pain or hardship or anguish of any kind, then all of us, all of the members of the body of Christ, suffer together. We suffer together. We suffer with our brother. We suffer with our sister in Christ. And he says, in the same way, if one member of the body of Christ is honored, well, then all of the members rejoice with that person. Sum karo in Greek. We share in that joy. We rejoice together without jealousy, without envy of that person. So now, Paul tells the believers in the church in Corinth in verse 27, remember. Remember that you are the body of Christ. As a group. As a church. He says, and individually, you are members of it. And God himself has ordered the church in a certain way. He says, he has appointed. Tithemi in Greek. He has set in place in the church, in Corinth, first, apostles, apostolos. These were special messengers of God, right? It says in Ephesians 2:20 that they are the foundation of the church, laying the foundation of sound doctrine, the teaching of the word of God, and many of those words that were given to them by the Lord we can find in the Bible. Men who were gifts to the church. They were not just gifted. They were gifts. But secondly, among the church in Corinth, Paul says there are prophets. Prophetas in Greek. Men who spoke the truth of the word of God. Men who resided in that assembly of believers. And their assignment was to give insight and to give wisdom concerning the word and how it was to be applied to the situation and to the circumstances in Corinth. And thirdly, there were teachers, didaskalos in Greek, those who were instructors of the Word of God. Those who studied the Word and those who made it more understandable to the people. And as they were doing this, Paul says, the Word that was being spoken was being confirmed in that church by miracles, dunamis in Greek, by the miraculous power of God. How else would they know that it came from God? They didn't have a Bible in front of them, did they? But those miracles confirmed the truth. And he says their words were being confirmed by gifts of healing, iama in Greek, by miraculous cures, remedies that were given by the grace of God. And in addition to that, Paul says there were some who were given the gift of helps and telamsis in Greek. The ability, the desire to help, to remove burdens from others and to place those burdens on themselves. To others, he says, were given the gift of administrations, kubernetes, the ability to help, to set the course of the church, the ability to help to guide it in the right direction, despite the difficulties that would be encountered along the way. And to others, Paul says, were given the ability to speak in various kinds of tongues, glossa in Greek, in various kinds of languages that were unknown to the one who was speaking them. So, why does Paul list these things? He is reinforcing the fact that within the fellowship of believers in the city of Corinth, first of all, these gifts were given by the grace of God. Secondly, they were essential for the health and for the well-being of the body of Christ, for the church in that place. And thirdly, their purpose was to unite the church as the Spirit of God used gifted individuals in various ways to minister to the people. But, Paul adds in verse 29, well, all are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak in unknown languages, do they? All do not interpret those languages, do they? Well, the answer, of course, is no. But in his wisdom, the Lord has distributed those gifts. He distributed them in the church in Corinth in a unique way. Divine energy given to people in that church in order to touch the lives of the people in that fellowship. The Lord gave them everything that they needed. Yet, as we have been learning, the people in that church were selfish. They were self-serving. They were full of themselves. They were full of pride. They were full of sin. They were walking in disobedience and disgracing the name of Christ. Even with all that they had, how could they expect that anyone would see Christ in their lives? And so, the indictment comes in verse 31, where Paul says this, you earnestly desire, zeloo in Greek, you jealously seek the greater gifts for yourselves. Stop seeking those gifts for yourselves. For I show you a still more excellent way, hyperbole in Greek, a superior way. Well, what way is that? Well, what has Paul been telling them? It is the way of contentment. It is the way of harmony. It is the way of unity. It is the way of love in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
You've been listening to Bruce David Bell, pastor of Berean Bible Fellowship. If the Lord has ministered to you through this message and you would like more information, then visit us on the web at bbfva.org.